The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For many people, the breathing can be a wonderful focal point for mindfulness practice and concentration practice. Giving attention to breathing and learning about how we breathe, what goes on when we breathe, and aspects of our breathing is a wonderful way of learning about ourselves, and it's a wonderful way of learning how to monitor ourselves and adjust ourselves to get along better in this world. I think of mindfulness of breathing as a great lubricator, that if you can stay in touch with your breath a lot, it lubricates our efforts through life. So, for example, it's very hard to keep the breath tense or tight or held if you're paying attention to it. And if your breath is not being held, then you tend to be a little more at ease as we go through our life. It's harder to get worked up. It's harder to get caught in anger or resentment or different things. So to come back to the breath and be familiar with it and be in touch with it a lot, make it a habit that throughout the day that you're coming, dropping back into the breath, for many people is a great support in their lives. Occasionally there are people for whom focusing on the breath does not work. It's counterindicated even occasionally. So there are other ways of doing meditation practice or mindfulness practice that doesn't keep the breath at the center. But generally for most people it works, and so I want to talk a little bit more about it today. One of the things that I find kind of fun is about the English language is that the word spiritual inspiration has the word breath in both words. Respire, respiration. The word spiritus in Latin, one of the meanings was to breathe. And so it kind of also became to mean spirit. But respiration has the word in it, as does inspiration, as does spiritual, has the same Latin root. So spiritual inspiration requires a lot of breathing. It calls us back to our breath. And paying attention to the breath, bringing attention to the breath, there's a variety of ways of doing it. I recommend that we find a way to kind of go to inside the experience of breathing, as opposed to being up in the control tower in the head, watching it. And so one way to do that is to feel it rather than to watch it. And in fact, I try to avoid language of watching when I talk about being with the breath. I'll talk about feel the breath, be with the breath, experience the breath, rather than look at the breath. Because I find that looking at it tends to create a kind of separation, and then the looker can easily get tense, easy to kind of be separated from your experience in a way that's not helpful. But the language of feeling and sensing puts you more in touch with it. And so one of the things I'd like to, some of you know, I'd like to say is I encourage people to experience the breath. Notice how the body experiences the breathing. So it's not a matter of you experience the breathing. It's a matter for you to notice how the body experiences it. Because the body senses, the way we sense something is through the body. We sense the experience of breathing and how the breathing affects our torso, our diaphragm, our belly, our shoulders. When you feel the front rib cage rise or expand outwards, we experience that in the area of the rib cage. We might know it cognitively in the head, perhaps, in our thinking mind, but the sensing experience is in the body itself. So notice how the body senses it, how it experiences it, puts you more in touch with the direct experience. And then become familiar with that. Spend time to getting to know what your breathing is like and get to know, find out what it's like in different situations, how it changes depending on your mood, your emotions, your reactions, what you're doing, the kind of activity you're doing. So you're familiar with a wide range of ways breath is experienced. So you can start noticing changes that occur in your breathing. Because the changes are indicative of something that's interesting to know. So, for example, if you get into your car to drive, and your breath is kind of relaxed and fluid, and after a while you notice your breath is a little bit held, that might be an interesting indication that you're actually a little bit in a hurry or impatient with your driving. And so it might be the first indication you have that maybe it'd be useful to relax. Don't drive in such a way. Maybe you can drive in a more easeful way. It helps everyone else who's driving if you can be a little more relaxed and calm as you drive. So that's a little example of how you might be able to use your breathing to help you understand where you're at. I often check into my breath throughout the day, and there are plenty of times where my first indication of how I'm feeling is by what's going on with my breathing. And it's like an early warning sign. Pay attention to this skill. You need to notice this. Then where people pay attention to the breath, where they notice the breathing experience, it changes from person to person. It also changes in the course of the day. So some people are in different situations. So when I was in Asia, and both in the Japanese tradition and in the Burmese tradition I practiced in, the encouragement was to be aware of the breathing in the belly. And so I spent much of my life tracking and being present for my breathing in my belly, just below the belly button area. And so maybe because I've done it so much, I feel very comfortable there, very familiar with it there. And it's kind of grounding. It kind of gives me a low center of gravity. It gives me a touch with a place where it's useful to keep soft. In my early years of meditation, I had a very tense belly, and I could relax it, but as soon as I relaxed it, it would involuntarily tense up again. And so it took me a long time to relax it and soften and my meditation until now I have a relatively soft belly that I can keep that way. So keeping my attention really low in the belly helped with that kind of discovering, keeping that kind of soft approach in my stomach. Some people prefer to watch or be present for their breathing in their chest. And that's sometimes very comforting to feel it around the heart area, feeling the movement, the rhythm of rising and falling, expanding, contracting. And some people prefer to be present for the breath with the sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. There can be a little tingling, little changes of temperature that go on, vibration as the air goes in and out. Some people like the very narrow focus of that one little place at the tip of your nose because it gathers you together and keeps you focused in a way that sometimes doesn't happen as easily for some people in the chest or the belly because it's a bigger area. I tend to prefer to emphasize feeling the breath in the torso because more of our life happens in the torso. More of our emotional life gets expressed and how we breathe there in the torso and our emotions get expressed sometimes in various tensions and holdings and loosenings in our torso and our shoulders and the belly in different places. Not much happens at the tip of our nose. I suppose you can tense up if you really wanted to there. And also, for some people, the tip of the nose is so close to where they think they think that it's very easy to slip back into thinking for some people. So I tend to think it's more useful to experience the breathing in the torso area. Sometimes people don't get as concentrated as quickly in the torso area, but the concentration more often than tends to be more relaxed and softer than if it's at the tip of the nose. And then it's interesting to hang out with the breath, get to know it, and become familiar with the difference between the experience of breathing in and experience of breathing out. To get familiar with that difference, because there are different experiences. And I find that the breathing out, there's a kind of a natural letting go that happens there. And I like to kind of go along with the letting go or kind of emphasize it slightly or use the letting go of breathing out as a way of releasing my thoughts that might have crept in. And so let it go a little more fully as I breathe out. And that little extra, not much, but a little extra kind of letting go as I breathe out keeps me more connected. I'm less likely to wander off. I'm more likely to catch myself if I've wandered off and come back, let go of my thoughts. And it allows the end of the out-breath to be kind of more smooth and pleasant for me. And then there's a teeny nanosecond of a pause at the end before I breathe in that allows me the in-breath to happen more naturally on its own. It's kind of a very nice feeling sometimes is that the breath kind of just appears on its own. So it's very nice for me. Some people find that as they pay attention to their breath, that they're controlling the breath. And some people feel like, I'm not supposed to control my breath. I'm supposed to have a natural breath. Generally, in our tradition, we say, don't worry about that. The primary thing we're doing in Vipassana meditation is noticing what the breath is like. And if you have a controlled breath, your job is to notice what a controlled breath is like, not to judge it. And you might have to become the world-class expert on what the controlled breath really feels like, what it's like to control it, what the emotions go along, what the beliefs go along, how you grapple with it, how what control is like, what it feels like, what part of the body gets activated in the control. Just really get present for it. And that does two things. One thing it does is you develop great insight, great understanding, great presence on something, in this case, controlled breathing. And the other is that if you really get to know it well, and don't be bothered by it, just be relaxed about it, but get to know it well, it tends to give up, let up on its own. Sooner or later, it'll stop if you have that kind of focus on it. So I would encourage, if you find yourself controlling it, be very relaxed about it and just kind of go along and get to know it, and then it'll pass in its own time. One of the interesting phenomena with breathing that can happen if you're really relaxed is that there can be a long pause at the end of the out-breath, sometimes at the end of the in-breath, but often at the end of the out-breath. And if there's a long pause, then there's a gap in what you're focusing on, what you're paying attention to, because your breath is not happening. And if you don't direct your mind onto something at that point, it's very easy for your mind to wander off in thought. And so in our tradition, the classic instruction at that point is to find something in your body where your body's touching. Something is like your hands are touching your legs, or your hands are touching each other, or your knees are touching your floor, or your lips are touching, some place where there's contact. And then in that gap, before the in-breath comes back, go and notice that contact. So you're grounding your attention in some place in your body. If the gap is really, really long, you might, in a very relaxed way, move your attention between the different contact points, between the left knee and the right knee, or between the hand and the lip, just so you're always kind of in a gentle, relaxed way, letting the awareness take in some direct physical experience. And that can be a little bit of protection from having the mind wander off in that gap. Another very interesting thing to explore if you get calm enough or centered enough, is to notice, as you're breathing in and out, staying with the in-breaths and out-breaths, to notice whether your mind wanders away in thought. What point in that cycle you're more likely to wander off in thought? And if you can notice, sometimes there's a real pattern. A common pattern, not universal, but a common pattern, is for the mind is more likely to wander off during the end of the out-breath or during the out-breath. Sometimes people release their kind of vigilance a little bit and thinking mind creeps in there. For some other people, it's other points in the cycle. But if you can notice that it's a regular pattern, that at a certain point in the cycle of breath, that's where the mind starts to think and wander off, then you can add a little bit of extra vigilance when you come to that part in the cycle. Just remember to kind of look at, let me just hang in there. In the end of the out-breath, let me just stay a little bit extra, and then I can relax when I get to the end of the out-breath because I made it. And then do the in-breath and then do the next thing for the out-breath. And so that you kind of stay on track and don't easily wander off in thought. Last thing I'll say is that the breathing is a wonderful companion. And I hope that if you give it time and get familiar with it, and that you'll really come to appreciate what a wonderful companion it is to carry with you throughout the day and check in with. And it's a great support for a wise life, being in touch with your breathing. Thank you.